Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast as we sit here on May 31st and we await the Stanley Cup Finals, if it's ever going to happen. I'm the host of the show, Brad Brood, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars, an off-season edition. And you know what? The real off-season could be here quickly as we're just days away from the Stanley Cup Finals and possibly seven games, could be four games left to watch this season, and a season that I thought went really fast.
Yeah, it did. It's nice that we were on a normal schedule this year, right? Like every start time, and
we were 4 days or 5 days late.
Better than a couple years ago, but you know, like all the draft and the free agency, all is going to be on the normal days, and kind of get back on schedule here. So. Yeah, no, it's seasoned. It went by quick. There's been some really good rounds. There's been some really shit rounds.
Mostly good.
Yeah. Disappointing.
And you know, even last round was good.
Second round was bad.
No, it wasn't.
Really bad.
No, it wasn't.
Second round was. Okay.
There were some really good matchups.
There was too many blowouts, though.
Well, the Toronto series was really exciting. The Carolina series was pretty exciting. The Dallas was... The Edmonton series was really good.
There was two really good and two really bad, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to know why the hell we're waiting till Saturday to start this thing. This is very NBA-ish.
Well, you got to make sure you have like arena availability and stuff. Like there may be.
So you're telling me there
maybe
wasn't.
You don't know. Maybe there's just concerts or plays out there. I don't know.
Plays?
I don't know. Concerts, like all that shit's planned in years in advance, months in advance.
Yes, I know. But they also have to leave dates open for this. Everyone has to do that. But. I'm sitting there going, they played Sunday
on a Saturday night.
I know, but they didn't.
Saturday?
Yeah, they played Sunday and they take Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 5 nights off.
They're going to have 10 days off.
The mediocre hockey fans, peace out, lost them. You lost them.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I always look at the Super Bowl and they take a week off and I think you just lost everybody. Like, people don't even give a shit unless it's your team. Yeah. By the time it comes, it's like, oh, my God. The playoffs were good 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. I did see something interesting. I don't know anything about this AI yet. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. But I saw that an AI predicted this year's Stanley Cup as Vegas beating Florida in six.
Okay, that's the biggest lie AI I've ever seen.
You want to hear what they predicted for next year?
Let me guess. New Jersey to beat Edmonton.
Nope. Toronto to beat St. Louis in seven.
A rebuilding St. Louis team. Nice. Going to the Cup.
Okay, nice. So you would have said that about Vegas about this year. You didn't pick Vegas to make the playoffs, dude.
But they still had a good team. I just didn't like their goaltending. I'm just saying,
like, anybody can win. You can't make fun of any of these.
I don't know.
Actually, you better be pretty happy. You better be excited for what this thing predicted. Because you want me to keep going here, or do you want to boohoo it?
I already saw it. Vancouver wins in, like, 2030 or something, I saw.
2028.
And then they lost in 2027.
Yeah. So you better be pretty damn happy with that. Because
I can't go through another cup loss, man. That would just put me over the edge.
Well, you better be happy if they get there, because I'd be shocked if they get to the cup. I don't know.
Florida can do it, anybody can, right?
Well, Florida was a President's Trophy winner.
Eight seed galore, baby.
President's Trophy
Southern
winner last
Florida
year.
Florida representing in the NBA and in the NHL.
The worst
Both
sports.
Eight seats too.
It's
Both
literally
eight seats too.
It's literally the worst sports market, fan bases, in the U.S.
The Heat have a great fan base. What are you talking about? They do. Florida? They sell out every night. They sell out every single home game, Brad.
Right now?
No, dude. They've been, dude, okay.
They don't follow their sports teams.
You don't like
the NBA. I don't want to know anything about the NBA, to be honest with you.
They love the Miami Heat.
I loved what Charles Barkley said. I loved what Charles Barkley said.
About what?
He said if an NBA player needed 75 stitches, he wouldn't come back in the game. He'd retire.
Okay. that's fair. But I still don't think he got 75 stitches either.
It's a long cut. It was a
little exaggerated.
I don't know. I want to know why the hell does Jamie Benn sit on a bar stool in the bench?
I had no idea.
I don't either. I want to know. I want someone to tell me.
Yep.
I don't understand it.
That's weird.
Lots to talk about in the episode today as we'll go through the Stanley Cup playoffs, talk about the conference finals, and then we'll dive deep into the Stanley Cup finals, give our worthless predictions on that. We'll go around the league, talk about Dubas done in Toronto, player backlash in Arizona, GM hires, and a couple coaches actually got hired this week too. Eastern Conference, Carolina, Florida. And this one started off with a freaking bang. Game one, four overtimes. I made it to the end of the third. Matthew Tkachuk scored with 12 seconds left in the fourth overtime. So I made it through three. And then I was like, not for this. Can't do this.
Yeah, I actually watched. I work nights, so I work. I got to watch the third and fourth overtimes at work. So, it was a wild game. Bobrovsky had I think it was something absurd, 5.9 goals save above expected. That's insane for one game. That's absolutely absurd. We've talked a lot of shit about Bobrovsky.
We both have.
You were the biggest critic of that contract.
Still think it's a bad contract.
We both said he's not playing up to his expectations. So you're not removed from this. From this combo.
You told me.
All I'm saying is he hasn't proved his contract in the playoffs, which he hasn't. Go look at his stats in the playoffs before this game, before this run.
Well, he has now. I still think he's overpaid.
Every year, there's a star of the playoffs, and this year it's Bobrovsky and Tkachuk. That's just so what it is.
I know, but you told me he wasn't a playoff goalie, and they should buy him out.
He wasn't until this year. Okay. Correct? Yes or no? Okay, so my point stands corrected. Thank you.
Your points are usually corrected.
Okay, well, that's good. I want Bobrovsky to do good because he's fun to watch when he's on his game.
What did you think of the goalie interference goal waved off in the first overtime?
That was a right call.
Yeah,
you can't. He's in the crease. He didn't get pushed in. Yeah. So, the goal in fourth overtime, it wasn't a greasy off the skate. It was a catch release, stop shelf, let's get the hell out of here. But, what can you say about Matty Tkachuk? He gets three game winners in four games. And he's the player that Calgary thought they were going to be getting, buddy. They never did.
Blake, I got a question for you. When you pick Uli Olevi over him, I don't think you have any place to make fun of
him.
Flame.
No, you traded him. You should have signed him to a 7-8 year contract. You signed him to a 3-year bridge. He said, "I'm out of here and I'm going to Florida." That was the biggest mistake. You should have signed him to a long term contract. Yes or no?
The cap didn't allow it.
Oh,
the cap did not allow it at the time. You have to feel the full team, Blake. You have to feel 23 guys. And you know what?
Okay.
You know what? I still don't think it was a bad decision.
Pause.
I love it when Canucks fans can argue this.
Why not, instead of giving Nazem Kadri the $7 million, why don't you just pay Matthew Tkachuk for 8 years?
Because he didn't want to stay in Calgary. He doesn't want to be.
He literally said the year before the trade, the summer before the trade, he wanted to sign an 8-year extension. He wanted to sign last summer, 8 years. He did. I will send you the reports.
Oh, from where? Yard Barker?
He wanted to sign 8 years, a year before the trade.
Blake, come on.
And they offered him a bridge.
I would not have signed him for 8 years.
You wouldn't want this guy on your team right now.
If I could foresee the future, over Kadri. Okay, so what? Can I ask you this?
You are Kadri's biggest hater this year.
I still am. I think his attitude's shit. Blake, okay, so let me ask you this. Then why didn't the Canucks pick him?
Dude, it's...
No, let me flip the script on
it. Is what it is, man. Like, teams miss on picks. That happens all the time.
No, if they knew he was going to be this... You expected Calgary to know he's going to do this. Why didn't Vancouver know?
He was a good defenseman in junior.
I want to know why Vancouver didn't foresee the future.
They missed, for sure.
Yeah,
they did.
They 100%
missed. But all I'm saying is...
No, I think you're ridiculous.
You didn't have to trade for Tyler Toffoli. You could have... There was money to keep Matthew Tkachuk long term. Don't give me that bullshit.
I'm not overpaying him. I need to fill a roster.
So let me just see here. So you agree with the 10.5 they just gave Huberto? Oh, but I thought there wasn't any cap. They just gave him 10.5. You could have gave that to Tkachuk.
He said he would not resign.
Yeah.
Blake, do you understand?
A year too late.
Is this coming from the same guy that told me that Don Maloney owned the Flames last night?
Okay, that was a mess up. I was messing up with the wrong guy. All I'm saying is...
No, you said it, dude.
All I'm saying is, if Brad Tree Living could go back 4 years ago, he signs Tkachuk to an 8-year extension instead of 3. Yes or no? Yes, you can agree with me. The answer is yes.
If any general manager could read the future, if Kyle Dubas could read the future, he would have never got rid of Frederik Andersen. We could go through every single team and I could name off multiple incidents. I could name off tons of them in Vancouver.
Okay.
If you could go back just six months, you wouldn't have re-signed Brock Besser. If you could go back 8 months, you wouldn't have signed Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Okay, so
you could go back on every team.
As a Flames fan, does it not piss you off how good this guy's playing?
No, I'm cheering for him.
You are?
Absolutely.
So you don't wish this guy's still on your team?
No, I'm cheering for him and Sam Bennett and Longberg.
That's another guy that got away. They just gave up on it, 24 years old.
Okay, let's talk about how many teams give up on fourth line grinders. Give me a break, Blake. What is your deal tonight?
Is he a fourth line grinder right now?
What is
he? He's on their top line. And he's effective as shit, too.
Okay.
Is he, yes or no, is he not? Did him and Tkachuk not take over that whole Toronto series by themselves? Yes or no?
I don't know if you could say Ryan Lomberg took over a series here. Come on, let's be serious.
No, I'm saying Bennett and Tkachuk.
I never once said Bennett was a fourth line grinder. I said Ryan Lomberg was a fourth line grinder. You said they gave up on Lomberg and put him on waivers, and they did.
No, I said Bennett.
Now they traded Bennett for a second round pick, and Bennett was junk in Calgary.
They gave him up because they didn't really put him in a spot to succeed, though. Okay, let's get back to Florida.
I'm about ready to end the show here. No, because you're ridiculous. You've turned everything into, hey, let's read the future and let's rip teams for not reading the future.
Well, I'm not ripping. All I'm saying is
you sound like the Yard Barker website. Like, he didn't get away. We've got great assets for him. We got Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar. That's better than 99 out of 100 general managers could have done.
okay, so would you rather have Tkachuk for 9.5 or those two for 16.6?
Obviously, in hindsight, you'd say Tkachuk, right?
Okay,
but maybe next year.
That's all I had to say.
But maybe next, like, this is the most immature conversation. I feel like I'm talking with my 7-year-old girl. I do. This is the most immature conversation I've ever had on this show.
Let's go to Carolina here. Let's go to Carolina. They get swept. This team needs a star player, do they not?
They have a lot of them.
Yeah, I get they were hurt, but
that's what, that makes a difference, right?
I look
that makes a difference. Okay, let me ask you this: if Bobrovsky and Tkachuk are hurt, does it make a difference for Florida?
Well, yes. I didn't notice Aho that much. Did you?
Not this series. No, I didn't.
I don't know. I wouldn't run it back. I would run this same team back. Of course, you're going to get healthy again.
So why would you run them back? But you wouldn't.
Why would I run them back?
Yeah, but why?
Because
they've been to three
Eastern Conference Finals the last 5 years.
Why would you run them back? But you wouldn't run Toronto back?
Because Toronto's won one round with the core. One round.
I'm just asking a question.
Carolina has been to three Eastern Conference Finals the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. So they've had a lot more success. They're a lot closer to knocking down the door than Toronto. Would you not agree?
Yep, I would agree.
Okay. So, like, I wouldn't do much. I wouldn't do much with the team. Maybe. Like, how much cap do they have here? Let's look. Carolina. They have 24 mil in cap. They got to re-sign Jesper Faust, Stahl, Stastny. Like, that's it. They don't really got to. Well, and Frederick Anderson's a free agent, so they'll have to make a decision there. But,
well, that's an easy decision.
Well, yeah, I know. But you also got, actually both their goalies are free agents. So, yeah, I'd probably bring back Anderson and that Coach Akoff can back up. That's probably what they're going to do.
I'd bring them both back.
You bring Ranta back too?
Yeah, why not? You need a good solid backup. This isn't a league where, you know, Vancouver's going to have to get a backup goalie for Demko this year. I mean, every team needs a backup goalie. This isn't a one-goalie league anymore.
No, well, and the way they flip-flopped in the series, I didn't like that. I didn't like that. I didn't like going to Ranta in game two. I mean, I get Anderson has injury issues and he just played a 4-overtime game, but I don't know. I would have went back to Anderson. He played great, you know?
Do you know that NHL teams are 46-0 when they hold a 3-0 lead in the conference finals?
46-0?
Now they're 46-1.
46-1, what do you mean?
Well, because Dallas beat Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Jacob Slavin, what did you think of that hit from Sam Bennett?
I thought it was very clean. He got caught looking at the puck and looked up, and it was an unfortunate result. That was his shoulders were down, his elbows were down. He didn't leave his feet. Even Slavin said after the game that it was a clean hit. I got no issues with that. What about you?
I thought it was totally clean. I thought it was a good hit. I thought
there was seen a couple of them this playoffs, eh?
Sam Bennett has been an offensive or a physical force in the playoffs, just like expected, just like he was for Calgary when he was a physical
in
force.
In 2015.
No, he was he was their best player last year. No, 2 years ago.
No, rookie year, him and Ferland. Ferland were just causing havoc.
Yeah, Bennett wasn't really too much in that. A little bit.
Yeah.
That was mostly Ferland. Yeah. Do you know that the Carolina Hurricanes have lost 12 straight Eastern Conference final games? That's scary.
Yeah, they've gotten swept. I know. That's tough.
It is scary. On to the Western Conference, Vegas Golden Knights, Dallas Stars. I'm sorry. I thought this series was boring.
Well, I mean, when Jake Ottinger plays like that, yeah, it's going to be very boring.
You can't pin this on Ottinger, though, because in game one, it was 4-3, 3-2 in game two. Both go to overtime. Dallas comes out on the short end of that. Vegas does light him up 4-0 in the next game, but Dallas bounces back to a 3-2 overtime win, and then things. Then Dallas wins again, 4-2, pushing it to 6, and I thought, holy cow. And then Vegas in game 6.
I wouldn't pin it all on Ottinger either, but... Oh,
how can you?
Some of the goals that he let in this series, they were just so uncharacteristic, like beating him clean through, and there was about 3 in game 6 alone, and I'm like, I haven't seen him let those in all year.
Here's the deal, though, and you got to take this into perspective. One of the problems is that you're judging it. I had a conversation with another hockey guy about this, too. You're judging it basing off how he played against Calgary in the playoffs last year.
No, it's not at all. That's last year. Who cares? That's in the past.
I thought he was good. I didn't think he was. He wasn't game changing.
He wasn't good enough to win. That's what we're saying. That's all I'm saying. He got out-dueled by Adin Hill, and that's something that we talked about. That was why we both picked Dallas to win.
Yeah, I thought Jake Ottinger would be the difference. I really did. I really did.
Adin Hill made the saves he needed to, just like he did against the Oilers. He did the same thing. He just made the saves he needed to.
What did you think of his coach throwing him under the bus after game 5, or did he not really throw him under the bus?
I thought he was honest. I mean,
I didn't think it was that bad. I thought the media blew it out of perspective.
I think Adin Hill would be the first to tell you that he should have that first Dellandrea goal. You can't get beat under your glove short side from there. That can't go in on any NHL goalie, I think. I didn't have a problem with the comments. He responded pretty well, right? I mean, played good in game 5, played good in game 6. Who would have thought, though, like, at the start of the year, if Vegas is going to go to the Cup, I would have not thought Adin Hill was going to be the goalie to do it.
Well, I don't think anybody like would. Vegas management would have. Like, and I don't think Adin Hill's are starting goalie opening night next year.
Yeah, probably not. I don't know. They got a lot of options, right? I mean, obviously Thompson's their number one guy, but he's not.
Robin Lehner is, right? Or is my prediction coming true that Robin Lehner never plays another NHL game?
I agreed with you on that.
I didn't say you didn't.
Okay.
So, what are you so defensive about all the time?
Because you're trying to dig up shit, like always. But, I don't want to say, like, I think boring's a little harsh. I thought it was boring. Underwhelming. That's what I'll go with.
How much of a factor did Jamie Benn being out 2 games?
They won both games, and then they lost 6-0 with him. I don't know, man.
I know. I thought that was an interesting thing.
The last 2 games with Jamie Benn in the lineup, they got outscored 10-0. 10-0 with the captain in the lineup? I don't know, man. But that cross-check was just so outrageous. Like, just so out of character for him to do something like that. Just, like, 2 minutes into the game, you're just going to spin him around, and then he's already on the ice. You're just going to cross-check him right in the teeth? Like, what was he expecting the outcome to be from that?
Jumped on his back. I thought it was one of the most dirty, outrageous plays of the playoffs. I thought it was the most outrageous play of the playoffs. He jumped on his back.
One. Worse than the Makar hit?
That was bad. That was bad, but this one, he jumped on his back with his stick to the back of his neck. Like, the result of this one could have been devastating.
Even the Eberle hit on Cogliano, I thought was
that was dirty. Than this. No, it'd be almost close.
Yeah, I'm still going with the Makar hit. The Makar one was bad. That's been the dirtiest play of the playoffs by far.
Yeah, probably.
Because the puck wasn't even there.
Well, the play was done. the play much, wasn't even on. Much. I mean,
yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I thought this Ben one, it was pretty obvious they were trying to kill Stone. I mean, Domi put a slash to his neck and stuck him against the glass.
The Oilers were doing that too. They were cross-checking him in the back and trying to hurt him. But
I was a little surprised with Dallas's fans and throwing stuff. I don't know.
That was bullshit.
Well, Edmonton's did it too, so.
They didn't throw food. They threw, like, jerseys. And
no,
like,
they threw shit onto the ice. Beer cans, everything. They threw shit. Don't try to defend your Canadian fandom.
that's not my team.
Yeah, it's, right. Right. Okay. It surprised me. But the final game was such a, I don't know.
I turned it off at 3-0. Such a buzzkill. I turned it off. I turned it off at 3-0. I went and watched the basketball game. Game 7.
Shifting gears on over to the Stanley Cup as we prepare for Saturday night. It starts. It goes Saturday, Monday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday, Friday, Monday. Florida Panthers, Vegas Golden Knights. No one predicted it. No one saw it. And I don't know. We obviously didn't predict it because we didn't get anything right in the predictions at all. So that tells you what how good we are at predicting. This is an interesting series. I still think Florida's the hot team going into this. They're going to ride that underdog story. I think they got better goaltending. So with all that being said, I'm picking Vegas in 7.
This is Florida's year. They've been destined. This is storybook stuff right here. You're gonna write a movie from this.
I want Florida. I'm cheering for Florida.
And I'm a huge Luongo fan. He's in the management, so there's that. There's
such
that
a huge factor.
No, it would just be cool to see. There's not a lot of guys on Florida that you dislike.
Oh, there's a lot of guys that most of the league hates Matthew Tkachuk.
Okay, but this is probably hate one to play against them, but they don't hate the person. They hate how he plays. That's a difference. They hate Brad Marchand as a person.
I think they hate Matthew Tkachuk as a person.
Nah.
I think he's voted the most hated player in the league.
He's unreal and he gets on your skin. Like, there's... You don't hate Ekblad. You don't hate Barkov. You don't hate, like, Verhaeghe, Sam Reinhardt, Bobrovsky. Like, there's a lot
Verhaeghe
of guys.
Verhaeghe, maybe.
There's a lot of guys. Let me say it this way. On Florida, there's a lot of guys on Florida that are easy to root for opposed to the Vegas Golden Knights. Would you agree?
Well, I think most of the world doesn't want Vegas to win just because of the way Vegas handles shit.
Yeah, I don't like the way they treat their players.
I don't like the way they treat their opponents. I don't like the way they treat anything. When you're hiding pedals on the exercise bikes, people should go to hell for that. That's dirty pool. Like, shitty organizations do that.
Yeah.
They've been straddling this cap clause for not just 1 year, but like 4 years. There's just a lot of things to hate.
I think they have a higher cap than Tampa Bay did last year. Yeah. $97 million.
There's just a lot of things to hate. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm cheering for Florida.
I'm taking Florida in 6 games.
Okay.
I'm taking them in 6 games.
I see FanDuel's got it -140 for Vegas and +110 for Florida. So they got Florida.
Really,
they're
underdog again, eh?
Yeah. On money, money
versus 2 seed.
Money Puck has Vegas a 55.6% chance and a Florida 44.4%. I thought this was interesting. I saw this on The Athletic. To end in 4 games, 0% chance is what the odds are. To end in 5 games, Florida 0% chance. Golden Knights 5.4% chance to win it in 5.
To win it in six,
this is where it gets interesting. To win it in 6, they've got 40.5% chance for Florida and 27.8 8% chance for the Golden Knights. If it goes 7, 21% chance for Florida, 5% for the Golden Knights. And the Athletic has 62.2% chance for Florida and 37.8% chance for Vegas. So they've got it the opposite. So everybody's all over the place.
They're riding the hot hand.
Yeah, but how do you, I mean, you know, I don't disagree with that comment that you said,
riding the hot hand. They've been road warriors too.
But Vegas has been the hot hand too, really. So they're both, I mean, they're
both. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how Florida responds for this 10-day layover, right? That's a long time.
I think it's a factor. I think it's a huge factor. But then, you know.
I looked at the last three layoffs they had this season. They won all three of them.
Completely irrelevant, though.
It doesn't mean anything, but, like, I'm just saying, like, in the games they've came back from, like, a Christmas break or All-Star break, they've come out pretty hot. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting. Time to go around the league. Let's talk Arizona right out of the chutes. First rounder Logan Cooley will not report to Arizona. Says he's going back to college. We've also heard, you know, rumblings of other players in Florida not happy with the situation. Talk of the NHLPA getting in there. Ownership group doing the no give up on the thing where they say they're playing in Mullet Arena next year, but they've already started to re-engage with local officials and sites to solidify a permanent home in the Valley. What is
just
it going to
just give it up?
I know. What's it going to take for the league to finally give up?
It's a pipe dream. Gary Bettman just needs to put his ego aside and be like, listen, like you're moving to Houston. It's just what it is going to be.
Well, he can't make that determination. The owner does, and the owner has to get approval from the league.
Yeah, which you should have no problem with. You would think, no?
I would think no. Depends on where he wants to move him to. Like, if he wants to move him to Albuquerque, well, New Mexico.
They ain't moving to Quebec. Quebec can't get in a team unless an expansion team.
They're not going to get that either, unfortunately. Much as I would like to see it.
Yeah, it'd be cool for Quebec to get a team. They have a pretty passionate fan base, I think. But Cooley, I guess Cooley just didn't want to play in any more college stadiums, I guess. He's just sick. He's sick of that. He's done with that. So he doesn't want to play there.
I don't think it has anything to do with a college stadium. I mean, there's some college stadiums that I would love to play in.
Mullet? That doesn't look like a nice rink to play in.
I didn't say Mullet. I mean, it's a nice rink. It's brand new. Just saying, if you're an NHL player.
I don't know. I think Cooley,
he wants to be part of the
Cooley's
mess.
Cooley also wants to go back to Minnesota and try to win. They've knocked at the door the last 2 years. They lost in the final this year in overtime. Like, they lost in the semis in overtime last year. So
I just don't think he wants to be part of the difficulties down there. Like, why not wait a year?
Yeah, but it's also the NHL, though. Like, it's the best hockey league in the world.
He can sit out for two more years and
just pick where he wants to go. Yeah, pull a little Adam Fox.
Yeah, no, Adam Fox maybe did not do that. Calgary traded Adam Fox.
No. Oh, yeah, they took Carolina. Who just...
They did not trade him to Carolina.
They traded him to Carolina, and then Carolina flipped him to the Rangers. Yeah. It was Jimmy Vesey that did that. He got drafted by Nashville, and then he signed in with the Rangers.
There's been a couple other players, too, but yes. Kyle Dubas out in Toronto. That was announced like right after we got done recording our last episode. And I don't know what to even think of this mess.
Man, I don't know what more Dubas had to do with the Leafs this year to field a Stanley Cup caliber team. This was the best team the Leafs have put together in my lifetime of 25 years. Best team they've put together.
But I got a question for you. And I agree with you. I agree with what you're saying. But how come weeks ago you said if they don't win this year, Kyle Dubas should be fired?
No, I said if they get knocked on the first round. That's what I said. Because, I mean,
so making the second was okay then? With that roster? I don't know. I'm just asking a question. I don't know how I even feel, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, we all blame Dubas until he got fired.
His,
and then
his press conference is really telling, though.
I know, but I love how we are as humans, where it's crucify Dubas. He's a loser. He's a loser. And then he gets fired, and we're like, oh, well, we feel bad for him now.
I don't necessarily feel bad for him because he's been there for 6 years and they only won one round.
Well, like, I feel bad for him.
Usually, if you don't have success in the hockey business, you get fired. Those are the consequences, right? Like, coaches and GMs and players get traded and whatnot.
If he was making the decisions and he gets fired, then I don't feel bad for him. But if he wasn't allowed to make the decisions and now he gets fired, now I feel bad for him.
Yeah, it's... It seems like Shanahan is calling all the shots. Like, listen to his press conference and listening to Dubit. Like,
so why is Shanahan?
I don't understand. I didn't like how Shanahan was so public with the negotiation. I didn't like that.
No, I didn't either. I thought it was dirty pool.
I thought it was Bush League. Like that should be between Dubas and Shanahan. You shouldn't be leaking that stuff to the media. I didn't like that. Like, he said he had to go back and make a decision with his family, and like that, which is rightfully so. That's a hard market to be a GM in, right?
Market's hard, but that's really hard.
No, but that's the hardest market to be a general manager. It's the pressure. It's the hockey mecca of the league.
Montreal might be right there too, but.
Yeah, but Montreal's not good, and Montreal doesn't have cup aspirations.
Well, they have cup aspirations. They don't have cup talent.
You get what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I want to know why Shanahan's invincible.
I honestly think that Shanahan should have been the one to go. I would have kept Dubas, honestly. Like, I think Dubas did enough. Dubas did enough to earn an extension, yes or no?
Yeah, I think he made some errors, but I think he made some good moves. I think the Murray...
This year he made errors?
Oh, bringing in Murray.
Yeah, but Samsonov was good. Samsonov was good for him.
It doesn't matter. He could have had Samsonov good without Murray, right? Then he could have... Okay, and then you could keep that money for somebody else, right? I mean, like, you can't bring... Now you got Matt Murray for all these years, and
more year of Matt Murray.
That's brutal.
Okay, so let's go into tree living. Let's go into tree living right now since we're on the Leafs. So, what is your thoughts on this?
It's the best man to hire, man. He's going to do wonderful. He's going to do good things there. He did great things in Calgary, and he's going to do great things in Toronto. He's a master negotiator, probably one of the best in the league. Absolutely. He's got tons of guys under great contracts. He's got Anderson, Lindholm, all these guys signed under him great contracts.
Okay, this is the thing that I'm worried about, though, okay? So he just lost two franchise players in Calgary, okay?
Completely different market.
No, hang on. It's pretty similar.
No, okay? People don't want to play in Calgary. People want to play in Toronto.
He has a month to sell Austin Matthews on a plan. That's not enough time. You think that's enough time?
Yeah.
His no trade clause kicks in July 1st. If he doesn't give an answer before July 1st that he's going to sign a contract extension, you almost have to move him. Brad Tree Living. What if the same thing happens in Toronto that just happened in Calgary, where you lose Austin Matthews for nothing, just like you lost Johnny Gaudreau for nothing in Calgary? That market would want his head on the.
So you're supposed to just let him. So you're supposed to not sign him to a good contract. Then you're supposed to give him a bad deal. So you're a better general manager for giving him a bad deal.
No. I'm saying you need an answer from Austin Matthews.
He may not give you one. Clause.
Okay, then I'm trading him. I'm not losing Matthews for nothing. You can't do that. I'm sorry. You absolutely cannot do that.
Then he may trade him. But then he'll probably get crucified, just like you're crucifying him now for creating Tkachuk.
It depends what they get for him. Right? I don't know.
I mean, you're going to crucify him either way.
I liked the trade. I liked the Canuck. Tkachuk trade at the time for Calgary. It just didn't work out. Huberto had a poor season. And Tkachuk is a top three Hart finalist.
And there's next year, right? And there's a year after that and the year after that and the year after that. So you don't judge it on the first year, do you? That would be unintelligent, right?
No.
Okay. Yeah, no, so then let's quit judging it, right?
I'm just saying.
I think Treliving, what he did in Calgary was really good. Really good. He has signed numerous players to team friendly deals. Has he made a few bad deals? Yeah. The James Neal thing. The
signings.
There's been a couple things that have been bad. But there's not a general manager out there that we wouldn't say, well, there's a bad one, there's a bad one. You know, I think my only fear for Treliving going there is that if he isn't allowed to make his decisions and it's not the Treliving show and it's the Shanahan show, we're just getting more of the same, right?
Yeah. I mean, the definition of insanity.
Right? I mean, we're just getting more of the same. When you say Shanahan should be called in question, I couldn't agree more. I totally agree with you.
So let's just look here. Okay, so next year, Matthews is up, Nylander's up, Lafferty's up, which is whatever. TJ Brody's up.
Let him go.
Mark Giordano's up. Timothy Liljegren needs a new contract. And then this year, obviously, you got like O'Reilly, Kerfoot, Bunting. Bunting's probably priced himself out of Toronto. I don't think they could afford him. Achari's a free agent. Like, there's a lot of good depth players that were important for them.
You might be surprised what Bunting takes. I'm wondering if this guy isn't intelligent enough to know that, hey, I have got a good fit here.
I would take a pay cut to stay in Toronto. You're going to be playing on a line with Austin Matthews. You're probably not going to get in that spot many other places.
No. And
I would sign for a couple million bucks, to be honest.
I would too. I would too.
You're playing with a 60 goal scorer.
I would too. I would too.
You'd be crazy not to.
Craig Conroy hired as a general manager in Calgary.
Yeah, he said all the right things at the press conference. I liked what he said. That all but tells me that old Mitchie Love's gonna be the next coach in Calgary. He talked about how we need to get youth in the lineup.
That has nothing to do with having him as a coach.
It does, because he just developed those young guys for the last 3 years with the Calgary Wranglers, and it's going to be a seamless transition for all those young guys to come in.
You don't have to learn a new system. I think it's a mistake to focus on that than learning how to adapt and coach the veterans that are on the team.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, if they don't call him up, they're going to lose him because he's going to get an opportunity somewhere else, right? Coach of the year the last 2 years in the American League, right?
He can't get an opportunity somewhere else for at least another year because he's under contract.
No, yeah. So, and then another big decision for Craig Conroy is you got to trade one of your goaltenders.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do. Because Dustin Wolf cannot be, he's too good to play in the American League. Vladar is getting traded.
We'll see.
He's getting traded. Vladar is getting traded to the Montreal Canadiens.
We'll see.
I think that's where he's going. Dustin Wolf comes in, plays
25, 30 Montreal. Games. Like, what basis are you, why? Why Montreal?
Well, I just think it'd be a good fit. Young goalie comes in. Him and Montembeau can split starts. I think it'd be a good fit there. He's still young. He's what, 26? Dustin, like, you can agree that Dustin Wolf should be in the NHL, correct?
Yeah, but you have to get good. It's called asset management. It depends on what you get for a return for Vladar. You can't just give him one.
Yeah, like, so if you get a second and a prospect back, I'd do that.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so again, I think that'd be a pretty reasonable get, right? Because Dustin Wolf literally won the MVP of the American League. He won goaltender of the year the last 2 years. Like, he's been good everywhere he's been. It's time for him to shine.
But you don't want to rush him.
No, you don't want to rush them for sure, but you also don't want it to be just overripe in the American League.
Well, you also got to look at this. He can go up and down.
Sure.
And
but you can probably not great to be carrying three goalies on your roster.
You don't. The Wranglers are in Calgary. You call him up for the day, he starts.
Yeah.
He goes back down to the AHL, plays eight games. Call him up to Calgary, starts three games, call him down. You just rotate him through.
Yeah,
because one of the big fears is this. So they call him up to Calgary. Markstrom gets on a run, and Markstrom plays 8 of the 12 games. He gets 4 games in a month. That's not good.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that, because Daryl Sutter 2 years ago drove that man into the ground, and it costed him against the Oilers in the second round. Would you not agree? He was gassed out by the second round because he played. There was two instances where he played 12 games in a row, two separate occasions. That's absurd. It's absurd. A starter, the perfect number for a starter in the NHL is 55 games.
Okay, so let me ask you this then: who's backing up Demko this year?
That's a good question. It's you know who it might be. It might be Artem Silos. Did you see the way he played the world championships?
Ay, ay, ay.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Why don't you reach into your pocket and pull out another quarter?
He's opening some eyes, and he's only 21.
See, I do want to clear one thing up. You were ripping on the Calgary Flames for not letting them, other teams, talk to True Living. Do you want to know why that was not happening? Because
he's still under contract till the end of June.
You said it was a bullshit move.
I still understand that, but so was Kyle Dubas, and they let him talk to Pittsburgh.
Calgary was letting them talk. They weren't letting him be hired. Because why would you let...
No, they didn't give him permission to talk. That's what it was with Pittsburgh. That's what it was. And then they got a bunch of backlash, and then they let him talk to Toronto. That's exactly what happened.
No, it is not.
No?
That is not
what happened. What happened then?
He was allowed to talk. They would not allow him to be hired. Why would be a horrible? Well, yeah, just let
no,
me.
No shit.
Blake, would you let me finish? Would you let me finish a sentence tonight? Just one.
Okay.
Because wouldn't it be a bad business decision to let Pittsburgh hire your guy and they have draft picks ahead of you? Be a bad business decision. So why in God's green earth would you let that happen?
Okay, so they just hired Tree Living before the draft in Toronto.
Yes, because Calgary's pick is higher than Toronto, right?
I don't think that has much to do with it, but
it's been reported by multiple sources. Yes, it is.
We'll see. I don't know. I just we'll see what happens. This is a big offseason for the Leafs. They got a lot of decisions to make.
Washington Capitals hire Spencer Carberry. I don't even know who he is.
He's an assistant coach in Toronto.
Okay.
Bald guy. He's a bald guy. I don't really know much about him either.
Nashville gets rid of Hines and brings in Andrew Burnett, which shocked me slightly. Since
they hired Burnett today?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. I just saw that they had fired Hines.
Which I think Andrew Burnett's fine. I just last thing I remember with him was he was getting a DUI a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, that's not good. He would have been a good fit in Calgary too.
No,
he worked well with Huberto.
I don't care. Hire a coach to coach one guy in your team? Fuck that. I want him to be a good coach for everybody.
He's a good offensive guy.
Well, if that's the case, we should probably bring Joe Quenneville in, because he was really good with
Huberto. Do you think he's going to get reinstated?
Absolutely.
Where do you think he goes?
Well, let's just get into it in three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Last week, Blake fired three questions at me. This week, it's my turn. Question number one will piggyback right off of what we were just talking about. Sources are reporting that Joel Quenneville will be meeting with Gary Bettman at the conclusion of the NHL playoffs to discuss reinstatement into the league. Should he be reinstated?
Yeah, I think he will be.
No, that wasn't the question.
What?
The question is, should he be?
Yeah, I think he should. I mean, what he did was wrong, but I do think that people deserve second chances. Okay. I believe in that.
I agree. And I predicted that he would be back coaching.
I think he coaches. I think he's next coach of the Rangers.
Should Bill Peters be back coaching?
I don't know.
What's the difference?
Racism and
so
covering up sexual.
I don't know. I think the sexual one would probably be worse. One's a criminal offense and one's not. I don't know. Think about that. Put that in perspective a little bit, huh? Question number two. Over the past few decades, NFL running backs have become more disposable and no longer are highest played players on NFL teams. With what we've seen this year with goaltending, will this be a trend we start to see in goaltending?
Can you repeat the first half?
Okay. Back in this, and I'll say this in a longer way. Back in the 90s, remember when you played fantasy football? Yeah. Everybody picked the running backs, right? They were the guys to get. And running backs stayed on teams for years and years.
Running backs and receivers, and then you can get a quarterback late.
Yep. But running backs were like, but when a team had a running back, you know, like Pittsburgh had a running back, their running back was a running back for six, you know, as long as his body could hold out, he was the shit show, right? Well, now if you look at the NFL, they run through running backs that are disposable. They just draft another one, bring him in here, he's a young guy, run him like hell. Yeah. Is that what we're going to start to see with goaltending?
Well, we've seen like musical chairs with goalies, right? They're not in the same spot for a long time.
Nope. I mean, are we done? Goalies
don't sign more than a 4-year contract either. They want to keep their options open. So
no, I think goalies want to sign them. I don't think teams are willing to give them just because of the up and down of goaltenders. I think every goalie wants to sign 8-year deals. I do, because that gives them security and money for a long time. I think general manager like I can't take on that risk anymore.
Yeah,
too many Jack Campbells. They just can't take on that risk anymore, right?
Yeah,
that's I don't know. It's that's just true. Interesting to see where that goes. If you were in charge of the NHL, when would you start the regular season? And when would you end the playoffs? I'm talking months, dates.
When would I start it?
Yeah. When would you start the season and when would you end it?
I would start the season in the middle of September. September long weekend. And I would end it middle of March. I would just move it up a month. And I would get rid of
3 weeks.
Yeah, move it up 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then the season ends at the end of middle of May.
Middle of May.
Instead of middle of June. I would just move everything up 3 weeks. I would cut preseason games in half to 3 games. You don't need any more. Like, that's the only reason why it starts late, because every team fucking plays 7 games. You don't need that. I would move everything up, move the whole schedule up 3 weeks.
Okay.
I that's pretty simple.
Listener question. Which call is more confusing? Penalty shot, goaltender interference, or kicking the puck in?
Oh, my gosh. We're talking about review and shit again. Oh, man.
Which is the most confusing? They're all confusing.
Well, the penalty shot's not confusing because that's strictly a judgment call.
But it's all over the place on how they call it. It's all over the place.
Yeah, like I've seen some penalty shots that shouldn't have been penalty shots. I've seen that before.
You know what's one thing I'd like to see?
I would rather award more penalty shots.
You know what I think? You know what I think should happen? You know what I think should happen? I think teams should be
all together.
I think teams should be allowed to decline penalty shots and take a 2-minute penalty power play. Because I would decline it every time.
I'll take you a step further. I think anybody should be able to take a penalty shot on the ice. That's on the ice.
You can't do that because
why not?
Because it's who's involved in the play.
No, yeah, but like if like your fourth liner gets a penalty shot, no, I'll get my first liner out there.
No, that would be stupid. I think the most confusing one is goaltender interference. And I know people are going to hate me for saying this.
So many gray area.
You got to make this black and white. If you're in the blue paint, it's no goal.
Yeah.
I hate that. That's the old Dallas Buffalo.
No, you want to bring back the, you can't be in the crease anymore, the Todd Bertuzzi rule?
No, I don't want to bring that back, but I think it's probably better than what we have now. Do you have any idea right now when you watch a goalie interference, do you have any idea what they're going to call? Like, do you have any idea?
The last couple I thought were pretty good. The last couple.
Well, because they were obvious ones. Because they were obvious.
No goal, yeah.
I mean, look at in a year, how many times it's like, I have no idea what they're going to say here.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
And kicking fair. Motion, I'd fix that in a heartbeat.
You should make it so you can kick pucks in.
Yep.
Well, heck, if you are talented enough to kick a puck in, props to you.
Yeah.
I'm
with you. I think you can fix that rule.
I think you should be able to high stick a puck in, too.
Sure.
If you're talented enough to deflect the puck down that's over your head or over your shoulders, then that props to you.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Go right ahead. Do you want to create more offense? Start getting more creative with how goals can go in the net.
The one rule that I would like to have changed more than anything, though, is that you should not be allowed to open a bench door while play is going on.
Yeah, well, we almost seen Brock Besser career ended.
More than Brock Besser. There's a lot of them.
But that's the most recent one. Like that.
No, there was another one last year.
Fucking paralyzed him.
There was another one last year, though, that was scary, too. I can't remember who it was. But, yeah, that's just a needless. If they're worried about injuries, there's one right there. I mean, that's an easy one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Another one in the book, Stanley Cup Skarman, Saturday night. Next episode set for June 12th. We will recap the Stanley Cup. We'll preview the NHL awards. We'll do a draft preview. God, that's going to be a busy, busy show. Jam-packed off-season show as we head into the true off-season after the Stanley Cup playoffs. Boy, every off-season seems to go faster and faster every single year. Enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're back June 12th, same time. More great hockey talk every week, the Debate Hockey Podcast. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.